from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
On WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Hey everyone, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, Zach Williams in the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, the coldest team in town with great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. For more information, you can go to their website, gogginkold.com. Jam-packed show coming up at 4:35, Ryan Callahan with GoVols247.com, talking Tennessee, recruiting, and more. Just after 5, Barrett Salee, not only national writer with CBSSports.com. He's also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. And then finally, Marty O'Malley. He is with Larch Mobile down in Mobile, Alabama. He's executive director of Larch Mobile. And what they usually do, Zach, every year they have this dinner. Well, unfortunately, with the coronavirus, not able to hold it. But what they are holding this year is coming up on Thursday night. It's a virtual college football preview show. And so a lot of coaches will be heard from, including Jeremy Pruitt, Gus Malzahn. It's a lengthy list, but it's like a free 90-minute virtual event that's happening this Thursday night from 7 to 8:30, and we'll get more details about it. It's the 26th annual, by the way, football preview show. This will be the first one, however, conducted in this manner.
I'm here. We're going to talk about Tennessee. Can you hear me over there? I can't tell with this right now. That's
well, you got a lot of folks. You have Dave Aranda, the head coach of Baylor, Todd Blackledge with ESPN, Reese Davis from ESPN. You also have Clay Helton, head coach of USC, Mike Leach from Mississippi State. I mentioned Gus Malzahn, Jeremy Pruitt, Nick Saban. The list goes on and on and on. All these folks that will be a part of this hour and a half virtual college football preview. Like I said, it's usually a dinner. In this case, it'll be it's all through the internet.
Well, you can still have dinner, right? You just got to do it on your phone. Well, or do it next
or have your
phone,
own dinner, and yeah. It's not going to be served to you unless you are fortunate enough to have someone in your household be able to bring it to you.
And let's be real, too. It'll be a better dinner because, you know, those kind of like foundation dinners or anything, those are always terrible. They're never really that good. So you get to like pick what you want to eat, and it's something that you like. So people are probably going to enjoy it a whole lot more.
I hope you had a nice Memorial Day weekend and also at the same time taking time to remember why we had the extra day off and, of course, remember all the men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice for us to enjoy the freedoms that we get to enjoy. I was talking to you before the break, before the start of the show, I have to be honest with you, very disturbed by some of the things I saw, you know, across the country.
Yeah, you know, people are there. I don't know. What, tired of it? Is that the best way to
say
it?
No, they're idiots. Let's just stop with the nonsense of being tired of it.
I mean, you know, it's get stuck inside all day, and, you know, now it's summer's coming up. People had to expect this, right?
You couldn't
believe people were going to, once summer started, they weren't going to stay outside.
I'm not going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Here's the thing on this one. You're just stupid, all right? And the reasons you start hearing folks, well, like one family, I heard this one quote where, well, we've decided upon ourselves that you got to die sometime, and so if one of us gets it, then we're okay with that. I don't care. If you're stupid enough to die because of that, fine. You know, but here's the thing. You're not going to be the one that dies, unfortunately. You'll be the one that probably gets it, and you're one of the ones that doesn't show symptoms of it, and you give it to Zach or Zach's wife. You see what I'm going with this? You know, we have to be responsible until two things happen. We find a cure, and we find a vaccine. Otherwise, you're being stupid, and you're going to be costing more people's lives.
I think it just gets more to the fundamental discipline of being an American, right? Americans don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to do. And so you're seeing that come out, a lot of it, a lot of freedoms and that kind of thing. And then the other side of it is, you know, I think it's just putting it to the people and saying, look, if you have these underlying health conditions and you have these problems, you shouldn't be out there. But some people are taking it upon themselves. They're healthy. They don't have problems. And especially with the summer and being in the sun and things like that. And we know that the virus gets killed in the sunlight and heavy sunlighted areas with what comes from the sun and all that. So we know those are facts that we know. So, you know, some of these people see it that way and they say, you know, if people don't want to be there, that's fine. But, you know, the people who want to go, they want to go. And I mean, you know, you have danger. You have you have a higher rate of dying in your car over here on I-65 than you do on the disease. And that's a fact. You can't fight that, Johnny.
Zach, stop with that nonsense.
No, give me the why is it nonsense?
Because here's the thing. You know, we've been keeping these numbers down. And even the White House and the federal government will acknowledge this. We would have had between 1 and 2 million deaths if we didn't, you know, practice safe distancing, the stay-at-home orders for the 6 weeks, correct?
I think it's irrelevant. I think it's irrelevant because that's what they were projecting at the beginning of, you know, or what, at the beginning of March, right? That was the projection.
They've even acknowledged that today. I'm not talking about 6 weeks ago. They acknowledge it today. So here's the thing. If we want the things that we get to enjoy, like, for example, college football, the things that we saw over the weekend, the video and everything else coming out where nobody was practicing safe distancing, nobody was practicing safe measures, then all that's going to go away and we're going to go back to doing what we were doing and costing more people's lives.
But, you know, you say
we're
you
gonna
want
close
cure.
Down the, we're going to close down the country again because if some individuals are just not paying attention and don't care.
It's just, I think with any disease that's out there, you know, you want a cure,
but
what's the cure?
Because
you're never
going to
cure
it.
It's a disease just like any disease.
You have never seen this disease in your lifetime, Zach.
I think we've never seen the social pariah and worry that we've seen with any disease.
Zach,
that's more or less what we've never seen.
Zach, we have never seen in my lifetime, and certainly it's not going to be in your lifetime because I'm older than you, twice your age. We have never seen anything like this in our lifetime.
Right. But let's look at it from this way once again. You're never going to completely eradicate this virus, correct?
Then why are the numbers escalating in 20 plus states because of the last week's actions?
Because cases have, right? Not mortality rate. Cases have, correct?
You're going to get
flus. You're going to get all the common colds.
When's the last time we had 100,000 people die from the flu in a single year?
Well, that was in the world. You're looking at the world, so
I'm looking at the U.S. How many in the U.S. we've ever had 100,000 deaths in the U.S. in a single year? It doesn't happen. You have to go back, you know, 80, 90 years ago. It doesn't happen. Stop comparing this to the flu or influenza. There's no comparison.
Well, you have to compare it to other diseases. That's what you have to do.
Zach, stop.
I mean, you can.
Zach,
people
stop.
Can be scared
this is
in
not
their
an
house.
Opinion. This is not the time with your. I have to be honest with you. You're limited in what you're talking about here. So please stop.
I'm seeing the same stuff you're seeing. You're limited. I wouldn't say limited because we're seeing the exact same
Zach,
numbers.
Zach, stop.
Your
Just
age
stop.
Is different,
Zach,
yes.
Please stop. Just stop, okay?
I don't know.
Stop.
I don't know.
Period. Stop. 615-844-5600. Jeff in the Borough, welcome.
Don't worry about all the stuff. They follow the rules or anything.
What was this? Jeff.
Hello, Bob. Welcome. How's it going? How was your Memorial Day weekend?
It was good. Thank you.
I just wanted to say you're right, Ballpark. This is nothing like the flu. You are correct on that, so I will give you the winner of the day on that. But I did want to ask your co-host, the XFL for sale, is he interested in buying?
Yeah, I like the fact that they were going to find a way to circumvent the system and find a way to get it back cheap. I love the fact that they were trying behind the scenes. That's one of those rich people moves right there, Jeff.
Exactly. Well, just like college football, everybody's going to come back at some point. I don't know if the smaller leagues, but looks like the Power Five leagues are going to come back at some point. I saw where Oklahoma was not coming back till July 1, and I saw where the ACC, I think each school can pick a date they can come back, so there's not a set date. So
you say it's coming back. I'm going to say it right now, Jeff. If people keep doing what they have done like this past weekend in these places, it will not be coming back. until later in the year.
I do agree with that. I do know what you're saying on that, because I do agree with that.
They will shut it down, Jeff, and that's what makes me so angry about the stupidity and how selfish some of these folks are. And it's a pretty significant percentage. Yeah, but because of the actions we're talking about, we will not have, you know, you will not be going to a college football game first week of September if this stupidity doesn't cease.
Oh, I understand. I agree. I know. I agree with you. I know. I'm hoping we can get some form of college football and in Tennessee, some form of high school football this fall. Because, you know, I'm hoping those two, and of course, all the fall sports, the rest is not just football, but I'm hoping that we get some form. Yeah, I agree with you. If this stuff don't stop, then we're going to have another spike and stuff be over with. So I do agree with that. But
I mean, I personally do not want to go back to what is, you know, the last 7 weeks. I don't want to have to go through that again.
And, I agree.
Especially if you're talking about an extended period of that. I do not want to go through that again.
Well, I did want to ask you, it looks like baseball might not come back. The players don't want to play for half a salary. And like I told you before, one of them's already said he's not going to play. You don't want that virus. Too much for risk. You don't want to do it.
Right.
Like baseball is going to shut down. They don't want to do it. It's like they're not going to come to any kind of agreement with the players. It's the owners will, but the players don't. As far as I know, you know anything else about that?
No, I mean, this is a week-to-week thing. I mean, great that the NHL had their, if the NHL comes back, there'll be no regular season. They got this playoff. Whenever it happens, great. Everything that you throw out there, you know, like, for example, right now we see a schedule and times for, like, the NFL. We see the schedule for college football. That's a moving target.
Yeah. Well, one final thing. I know y'all heard about this over the weekend, but the former Kentucky coach, he goes to Kentucky, Oklahoma State, several places. But Eddie Sutton passed away, and his best team in Kentucky was his first team, 86. I know y'all know this, but in the NCAA tournament that year, the regionals was Alabama, Kentucky, and LSU, with three of the four teams at regional. They played Alabama four times in that season. They beat them twice in the regular season, beat them in the SEC tournament, the NCAA tournament, then played LSU in the regional final for the right to go to the Final Four. They lost, and LSU went to the Final Four. They played them four times, too, beat them three times before and lost the fourth time. So that year, but he passed away at 84, and he took 14 to the NCAA tournament. He also, in 78, you had Gibbons on that one day for the week of the Final Four.
Right.
They played Arkansas in that semifinal. And Arkansas had Sidney Moncrief plus some other players, but he played a long career in the NBA. Sidney Moncrief did, and Eddie Sutton coached that team, lost to Kentucky in the semifinals, and I think he went on to beat Duke in the championship game. And like you had Gibbons on, he scored 41 at championship game, got on the cover of Sports Illustrated that next week. And stuff, but now I just want to say a little note to him, kind of, you know, maybe not a superstar coach, but pretty good coach in the probation. He'll never live down, but Patino was hired, and he saved the day and took us to that game against Duke and got us back on track. So, you know, good things happen and everything. But, guys, enjoy your week and enjoy your show. Appreciate it.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I got a chance to get to know Eddie Sutton when he was head coach at Oklahoma State. We traveled out there when I was at Tennessee State to play them. And, you know, very cordial individual. He was pleasant to be around. And as Jeff brought up, you know, certainly an interesting past from a pure coaching standpoint. You can't argue with the success there. But certainly, you know, with the probation part of it, that's part of the resume. But, you know, still very unfortunate, his passing, and certainly thoughts and prayers go out to his family. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600. Coming up around 4:35, we'll talk recruiting with Ryan Callahan with GoVols247.com. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. It's still busy out here, dodging some rain showers in certain parts of town. It's still looking good right now here on 40 East up by Fessler's. Now, they're still on the scene of a crash at Blackwood Drive at Bell Road in Donaldson. They had traffic tied up pretty good. Crash there on Rosa Parks at 10th Avenue, North Nashville, getting some attention. 40 East has been really busy now, trying to get through Wilson County, headed out towards Lebanon. Hey, it's time to have some summer fun at Adventures Unlimited on the Ocoee River. Book online at adventuresunlimited.net. I'm Commander Chuck, you're on time traffic.
I've got a snack that'll add a little kaboom to your keto diet. Or would that be keto boom? Either way, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds have the bold flavor that outshines other low-carb snacks. And if keto's not your thing, you'll still love the high protein these rinds deliver. Flavors like Korean kimchi barbecue, honey chipotle, pineapple ancho chili, and more. Visit porkrinds.com to find your flavor. Boom!
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free.
Just pay shipping and handling.
No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-478-0480.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-478-0480.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
Call 1-800-478-0480. 1-800-478-0480.
This is Coach Gus Malzahn. In sports, it takes teamwork to have success. As a state and a country, we all need to work together.
This is Coach Bruce Pearl. To help stop the spread of the coronavirus, wash your hands often for 20 seconds and disinfect counters, handles, and mobile phones.
This is Coach Butch Thompson. Be safe at home. The best way to protect yourself and others is by practicing social distancing. Stay home.
Stop the spread.
Save lives.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Brad Keselowski took home the win in the longest race of the season, the Coca-Cola 600. Up next, they're racing at Charlotte again, and then it's on to Bristol Motor Speedway. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, I'm Brad Keselowski, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at facebook.com/TheFinalLap. We'd appreciate it every single weekday right here.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks, with you, Zach Williams, in the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. 615-844-5600, 844-5600. Just a reminder, drunk driving is the ultimate form of unsportsmanlike conduct. So if you're planning on drinking, then have a plan. The bottom line is don't get behind the wheel. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. A little bit later this hour, don't forget Ryan Callahan. He's with GoVols247.com. 615-844-5600. Ryan in Spring Hill, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Johnny. You know, you guys were talking a little bit about baseball, what they're going to do if I was the owners and the players, man, I would figure this out and realize that, man, if you guys can come back and play this summer, you are going to be the only show in town. You're going to be the knight in shining armor to help the healing process of the country. You're going to have no competition with any other sports. You're going to be you're it. And Johnny, I would start with the All-Star game. I would, have it there in Los Angeles and do with no fans, but I would start with the All-Star game. I'd have all the All-Stars from last year except for the Houston Astros players. That would be part of the punishment is, nope, we're not going to let you play. I have a 60-game season that ends around Labor Day. I have the playoffs in September. And, you know, they're talking about, well, there could be a second wave in the fall and all that stuff. I'd have the season done by then. It's a mini season. I understand that. But what it would do for the fan base, what it would do to bring people to baseball, MLB does such a terrible job marketing to the young kids, all that stuff. man, this is the only, it'd be the only show in town. And so I think, man, if, and maybe you do even, what if you do this? What if you say, hey, listen, we're gonna renegotiate. We're going to have a 60-game contract. This doesn't count against the regular contract that you have. I mean, I know, we're talking money, and I know, there's a lot to it. But, boy, I would try to figure it out some way that it comes back. Johnny, you said this before, and I wanted to ask you this question. Do you think, you personally, do you think, because you said until there's a cure, until there's a vaccine, like no one is safe, right? Are you saying we shouldn't have sports till there's a vaccine?
Well, what I'm saying is that, you know, look, you're going to have to do some isolation here. And the problem is, okay, does this mean that, because you're asking, what you're asking basically is somebody who's making, look, just say you take your highest paid player, 20-plus million, right? So you're asking them to take a drastic reduction in their salary. You're basically going to have them isolated from their family as well. And the other parts that not even a part of this that we've seen in any of these storylines, and it's one of the reasons why I had Jerry Royce on last week, the former Los Angeles Dodger, in 81, if you recall, the year of Fernando Valenzuela. He breaks in as a rookie, and then the strike happens. And basically, after the owners had this insurance, so they were protected. They had strike insurance, and so they didn't lose any money, right? In the end, they agreed for basically the same things that would have been agreed upon back before the strike happened. But then you also, the other parts of this equation is, okay, what does it mean about a player getting closer to becoming a free agent? You know, early, a player that's early on in his career. Are we talking about just days or months here, or is he going to get full year credit if he plays those 60 days? So there's so many other parts of this that I'm sure the owners don't want to give in on. I mean, look, that's the reason why sometimes you see in the beginning of a year an outstanding rookie. You know, he comes out of spring training, he is ready for, you know, day one, opening day, right, for a season, and they send him to the minors because they can delay that clock by a year as far as when that player can then become a free agent. And so that's the other parameters. And plus, with some of these players making the kind of money, you know, they are – you know, you're asking them, are you willing to give up your, you know, are you willing to give up that and take a risk of getting this disease for such a reduction in your salary?
Yeah. If they don't play this summer, do the owner, like, are they just putting it on pause till next season? You know what I'm saying? Like, do they not get paid for this season and just, is that? Or are they saying, no, we want to be paid even if we don't play? Is that what they're saying?
Well, see, right now there's nobody's getting paid at this point. They're proposing cutting the salaries, and that's where the problem is. So it's a complicated mess. Like right now, college football, NFL, we're not there yet. But like Major League Baseball, a season that should have already been in full, but would have been in getting ready to start its third month, you know, next week.
Yep.
It's complicated, and the fact of where you're going to play. And are you going to play in just, you know, two states? You know, there's, you know, it's not like every state has the same and every city has the same restrictions and guidelines compared to everywhere else. We've never gone through this. So there's no, you know, perfect answer for this.
Yeah. Well, back to the vaccine thing. I mean, you know, to have a tried and true vaccine. I mean, I'll tell you what, Johnny. If the vaccine comes out tomorrow, I'm not getting it. I mean, who knows if in, you know, 2 years, you know, your kidney shut down. We didn't realize. You know, I'm like, listen, this needs to be tried and true. Well, if that's the case, you're talking, we're 2 or 3 years away from a proven vaccine. I mean, are we not gonna? You know what I'm saying? Are we not gonna have any sports? Are we not gonna have any of that till? I don't know, man. I think finally somebody's going to say, listen, I'm willing to risk it. And I know. But, I mean, we take risks every day, too. So I see both sides of the coin. I mean, let me tell you what, I think it's funny because we're doing all this stuff, but yet we go to takeout and people handle our food. I go to the gas pump. I handle, like, you know what I'm saying? We're trying to cut down on as much as we can. But at the end of the day, I mean, when the Amazon guy brings my package to my door, I hope that's clean. I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm doing my best, but
I mean, you're supposed to wipe down the cardboard box. Most people don't.
Know.
Just like you at the gas pump.
Know.
I keep gloves in my car, but is everybody doing that at the gas pumps? No.
I know.
So,
I know.
I have seen some encouraging signs early as far as, I mean, they are fast tracking, so that's good news. And I'm optimistic, honestly, that we will have a workable vaccine by January. I really am. But until then,
but
we
man,
have to continue.
Doesn't it make you nervous, though? I mean, they have been wrong on so much stuff so far. You know, I mean, they have been wrong on so many things. I'm like, listen, I still trust science. It's the scientists I don't trust. I mean, I'm like, man, I don't know, dude. I don't know. Crazy times. Johnny, I love the show, brother.
Hey, appreciate it. I wish I had all the answers, and I wish that we, you know, this is something that right now you could go to your local pharmacist and just pop in, grab a shot, and you're ready to go, and you're protected, and your family gets protected. And for me, I mean, my wife's a dental assistant, so, you know, I'm concerned about her on a daily basis. And it'd be one thing, once again, everybody's doing the common sense kind of things and doing everything they're being told to do. Unfortunately, I really believe over the last 7 or 8 weeks with everybody, you know, stuck inside, now that they're released in a lot of areas and they're being trusted to do the right things, unfortunately, they're not. And that's where the bigger problem. I mean, if 80 of the 100 folks out there are doing the right things, you know, that's great, except the 20 can get everybody else in trouble again. And I don't like seeing, you know, an increasing numbers where everything was starting to go heading the right direction, and now we're seeing an upswing again. I don't want it to get out of hand like we saw the numbers do as March played into the month of April. All right, 615-844-5600. Coming up, we'll talk some recruiting and more. Our good buddy Ryan Callahan, he'll be joining us from Knoxville. He's with GoVols247.com. This segment brought to you by friends with Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, and they have taken measures to put everything in place to keep everybody safe while you go out with your friends and family and get to enjoy some bowling. All locations open now. Hendersonville, don't forget their enhanced experience there at Circus World. Also, Murfreesboro, plus the locations to serve you, Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, Tusculum area as well. Plus, if you're in the Murfreesboro area, including Laverne, Smyrna, for example, don't forget, keep track of the new location that they're building and getting ready for you. They're expanding their Murfreesboro operations to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall with most of the attractions that Hendersonville offers today. You can keep up with the updates by liking the Strike and Spare Murfreesboro Facebook account. Go ahead and do that. Plus, if you need more information, you can go online at strikeandspare.com. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Well, good afternoon. We're still dealing with quite a bit of rain showers out here in certain parts of the county. Traffic's still looking good right now here on the South Loop. Now, it was slow a little bit earlier on 65 as you make your way up through Madison right now towards Vietnam Vets. Just heavy traffic volume trying to get up through Madison. Rosa Parks at 10th at Rec North Nashville in its clearing stages. Traffic's picking up 40 East here coming past the airport headed out towards Lebanon. It's time to have some summer fun at Adventures Unlimited on the Ocoee River. Log on to adventuresunlimited.net. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14,
41, 31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side,
you can be on their side. That's why there's understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration would like to salute everyone who is serving our great country. To the men and women who have helped to uphold and strengthen all that is guaranteed to us through the Constitution, our thoughts and prayers are with you as you defend our freedom. This message is from the crew at Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration, your stained glass expert serving the Nashville area. Specializing in new construction, repairs, and restoration, residential and commercial. Give Butch a call at 615-308-3447. That's 615-308-3447. Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration, thanking the men and women of our military this Memorial Day.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast for this afternoon. A 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a high near 85. Tonight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms again, mostly cloudy, with a low around 68. And tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms likely again, mostly cloudy, with a high near 82. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jeff DeWitt.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you. Zach Williams back in the Goggin Cole Hall studios. Coming up just after 5, don't forget Barrett Salee with CBSSports.com. He's also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. Right now, going back to the hotline, Ryan Callahan. He's with Go Vols 24/7 over in Knoxville. Ryan, hope you had a great weekend, and as always, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Johnny, thanks for having me.
Good. All right. So once again, we're still in this virtual world. Coming up next hour, I have a visit from Marty O'Malley. He's with the Larch Mobile. He's the executive director of this group. And every year, this is the 26th annual event. They have a college football preview dinner. And this will be the first one. They're doing it from a virtual standpoint due to COVID-19. And they're going to have 5 to 10 minute video presentations for a lot of coaches across the country, including Jeremy Pruitt, head coach of Tennessee as well. You know, everybody's doing something different, obviously, with what we're going through to try to maintain whatever normal is these days.
Yeah, and that's what you have to do. And we've seen coaches doing a lot of this stuff, trying to connect with high school coaches and doing all sorts of things like that through Zoom. Whenever they can to sort of, you know, maintain some sort of normalcy during this time and continue to put themselves out there. So, yeah, it's the kind of thing we've seen a lot. And obviously give credit to the coaches and everybody involved for trying to continue to figure out ways to do the things they would normally do during this time, going out on the road and having coaches on their campus for coaches clinics and camps and things like that.
You know, by the way, what type of you know, once these coaches across the country realize that this is how they're going to have to conduct business, the reason I bring this up, I'm curious the advice that Jeremy Pruitt and his staff receive, because, you know, obviously it looks like on paper, Tennessee, if you look about, you know, at programs that are winners and losers, maybe not necessarily loser, that's a strong term, but, you know, the winners as far as making the most of this situation with the technology, Tennessee gets a major thumbs up during this time period.
Yeah, and it's hard to say what the real key to it is. I mean, we've seen a lot of creativity during this time. Schools having virtual tours for players. You know, you get on Zoom or FaceTime with a guy, show them around campus, do what you can to sort of make up for the lack of visits. So we've seen a lot of different things. And some of it just really comes down to continued communication. There's not always a major secret to it or some sort of trick. It's just continuing to talk to guys and show them a lot of interest. I've said for the past several weeks, people kind of ask what's led to this for Tennessee. You know, a lot of it's sort of the groundwork they laid getting guys on campus before all this shutdown happened, and then a lot of it's just outworking some other teams, frankly. You know, I think Jeremy Pruitt does some of his best work in recruiting when he has those certain pockets of the year closer to signing day where he can sort of dig his teeth into recruiting and not have to divide his time between team duties and recruiting. He really loves recruiting. And I think so during these times, he's really able to put a lot more time into top targets, and those relationships can pay off. And so I think he and his staff have done a lot of good work with that, and just sort of focusing on recruiting, since there's not as much you can do with the current team and staff meetings and all that. Just sort of saying, hey, I'm going to maintain all the relationships I can, even ramp up communication with a lot of prospects. And that's, I think, what's led to some of this, in addition to just players sort of reacting to the uncertainty of not knowing when they can take visits again.
Ryan Callahan joining us. I'm looking at your current recruiter rankings, and this is where you rank assistant coaches across the land. And, you know, looking at the top 10 list, there's two schools with more than one, and that's Ohio State. No accident, the fact that they right now have the number one recruiting class for 21. And right behind them, Tennessee with three. That's it. You know, single ones for Michigan, North Carolina, and Wisconsin. But Ohio State, Tennessee on that list. And Tennessee's list includes Derek Ainsley, also Jay Graham and Joe Ossoff. I bring it up because, you know, I go back to, I guess it was like 3 years ago with Alabama, and it looked like Nick Saban made a decision to, you know, increase those individuals on his staff that were excellent recruiters and hoping they would catch up as far as on the coaching standpoint. And certainly it looked like that in so many ways was not a great idea. I mean, although Alabama made it to the national title game, they were also blown out by Clemson in that game. And so when I look at the decisions being made by some of these coaches and when they're adding to their staff, you know, the ideal candidate, somebody who's a great recruiter, and oh, by the way, once they show up, they can be coached up as far as these recruits. What do you feel like that's the case with Tennessee right now?
Yeah, with the recruiters, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. I think obviously, I mean, Jeremy Pruitt continued to make tweaks to his staff over the past couple of years, and obviously, recruiting such a big deal to him, to getting Tennessee back on track, that I think he has you have to sort of emphasize recruiting and filling out your staff. So I think you always have some changes to make from your first staff, and I think he clearly saw after year one, you know, I need to bring in some additional recruiters to help out. Brian Niedermeyer was the National Recruiter of the Year for Tennessee that first year for the 2019 class. But he did a lot of the heavy lifting himself, along with Jeremy Pruitt. So I think he felt like, you know, not that he didn't have some other solid recruiters on his staff, but he said, I need more difference makers, guys who can really go in and win some big-time battles like Niedermeyer showed he could do that year. And I think now, 2 years later, you're really seeing it. They kind of gradually have gotten there the past 2 years. But now, with these latest additions, Joe Ossoff, you know, is a good example. He's a support staff guy. The last couple of years, he was a junior college head coach before that. That he found sort of interviewing him for another position, decided not to give him that spot, but said, hey, I want you on my staff. And so he's waited for a couple of years for a chance. Now he's getting his chance after kind of showing that he could recruit, especially junior college guys and in the Northeast. And now he's one of Tennessee's top recruiters on that list. You mentioned Tennessee's got the top five recruiters in the SEC right now in the 24/7 sports recruiter rankings, and he's one of them. Jay Graham, adding him at running back coach, has made an impact. So you're seeing a few of these latest changes really make a difference. And obviously T. Martin last year, in addition to Niedermeyer and Derek Ainsley, another guy brought in last year. So you're seeing the depth of that recruiting staff now, and that's something I don't think they had in year one to the extent they do now. This is probably one of the best recruiting staffs Tennessee's had in, I mean, at least more than a decade, maybe even going back to the Philip Fulmer era. But I'd say at least the Lane Kiffin year is probably the last time you saw this deep of a recruiting staff at Tennessee.
And that's one, I remember we had Bobby Bowden on back in April, and one of the things that he shared with us was the importance of not just recruiting, you know, student athletes, but also recruiting coaches and keeping these coaches, especially the successful ones. And that's another challenge that Jeremy Pruitt is going to be faced with. Now, look, he's seen this in other programs when he was part of staffs at Alabama, Florida State, Georgia, per se, plus he himself moved around. So he understands the lure, you know, if the more success you have, the more that other programs will want you. And so one of the challenges now that Jeremy Pruitt will face, besides, you know, keep on doing what they're doing as far as recruiting student athletes, but also finding ways to keep the consistency with the staff.
That's a great point. And one of the main complaints, I guess you could have, sort of in connection with what I was talking about, the way he's consistently upgraded his recruiting staff the last couple of years, is there's been maybe a little bit too much turnover for some people's taste. the last couple of off seasons. You know, you'd like to have a little more consistency there. You know, Tennessee certainly, but you're going to have some turnover, so you can't expect to keep everybody year after year, especially when you're doing well or on the right track. And they've got some guys, you know, they've got a former offensive coordinator at USC and T. Martin. You know, guys like that are going to get interest from other schools. He's a former National Recruiter of the Year himself. So when you have guys like that who've had success, you know, Derek Gansley was in the NFL before coming to Tennessee last year to be defensive coordinator. So guys like that are going to get attention every year, and certainly Brian Niedermeyer, too, with what he's shown he can do as a recruiter. So you're going to have to fight to hold on to those guys all the time. That is going to be the next challenge, especially if Tennessee continues to build on the field and win more games year after year. And that's obviously something they've got to – you have to have a balance there. You're always looking to get better, but at the same time, you want to limit the turnover. And now the challenge, I think, in the future will be sort of keeping some of those guys that they've already added to their staff to upgrade and trying to ensure that T. Martin stays around as long as he can, Derek Ansley, guys like that.
Ryan, on Friday, the SEC voted to allow to permit voluntary in-person athletic activities starting on June 8th. And so this will be the opportunity for student-athletes to, you know, gradually adapt to the full training and sports activities. Any unique situations or issues and challenges that Tennessee may face?
Nothing that we're aware of right now, and I think you'll see a lot of schools probably taking a similar approach on a lot of things right out of the gates. But it will be fascinating to see how this goes. You know, we've obviously know Philip Fulmer has handled this pretty well as athletic director and made it pretty clear they're going to do everything they can in terms of player safety, as most athletic directors are doing. But I think he said a lot of the right things in dealing with this publicly, and I think that you'll probably see that reflected in whatever policies Tennessee has in place, but they're obviously going to have to be smart about it. You know, I think everybody's excited to be getting players back on campus, to be sort of getting some sense of normalcy going again, and to have several weeks to maybe figure this out before you start a training camp, and you know, whether it's late July or early August. There's been some talk of expanding training camp to make up for no spring practice for a lot of teams this year, things like that. So whether you're starting in late July or early August, you've got some time to sort of figure things out and maybe see what you need to tweak, if there's any policy that you need to add to what you're doing to sort of keep players safe. And my big question is still, you know, what's going to happen, not necessarily Tennessee, but anywhere, and how will other schools react when a player is tested and it comes back positive? How will everyone react to that? That's the biggest question to me that you've got to answer. There's all sorts of liability questions there. You know, will there be a situation where one player tests positive and that causes, you know, half the team to be quarantined because they came into close contact with the player? That's what you want to have to avoid. So there are going to have to be some serious precautions put in place, I think, especially during the summer when you don't have to have everybody together at the same time. You know, you're doing more small group workouts and things like that, I would say.
And the other part about that, too, you know, is it's always important, and we see this all the time, about protecting the privacy, you know, of these student athletes and other shapes and forms, maybe the trouble they get in or drug testing or whatever the case may be. I wonder how public, you know, if we are talking about somebody who tests positive for COVID-19, how much of it from a public standpoint will be released as far as general information out there.
That's a great point. I've had that same thought, and I would have to imagine a lot of that's going to be kept private as much as possible because it's considered a medical situation, I would say, and just like anything else medical related. Obviously, we find out about injuries and things like that sometimes, but some people might not want it out there that they've tested positive or that they're dealing with symptoms of COVID-19. So I think that is a serious consideration. It'll be really interesting to see how much of that does leak out, you know, if and when players test positive and things like that. And, anything that goes out like that is going to have to be signed off on by the players and their families. And so some will be okay with it, maybe, and some won't. But that is going to be a potential issue on this. And you wonder how much players will be able to sort of keep that sort of stuff private if and when that does happen and come out.
And, you know, look, I ask this, and because I just hear that in your answer, too, say if it's multiple and we're seeing it across the country, and yet if it is being kept private and the general public is not aware of it, you see where I'm going down with this.
Yeah.
I just want everybody to be open, and, you know, and I want us to be able to do all the right things to start enjoying the normal things that we normally would get to enjoy if we didn't have COVID-19. And my big concern is keeping – I mean, look, you know as well as I do, players are told constantly don't do anything to embarrass yourself and your family. And every morning, you know, there's one particular person on that staff across the country that waits for that 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock phone call to find out if anybody got arrested overnight.
Yeah, and that's I mean, there's so many things about this. I think about students coming back in the fall, and that's where I think the real trouble starts, even if things can sort of stay reasonably safe this summer. You know, you get students back on campus, and that's when you have to worry about players going out with friends and, you know, staying at bars late if they're of the appropriate age, all those things that are issues to begin with for college students on a regular basis. But now you throw in the added complication of needing social distance and make sure you're not contracting this virus. So there really is a lot to think about for these players, and there's going to be a lot of pressure on them. I do think we'll find out probably whatever information that there is about, you know, when players test positive, when someone is dealing with that disease. I think we'll find out about it. But maybe just more in terms of numbers instead of names. And that's how I think you might see schools deal with that. But, yeah, I think we're going to find out about it, and it's going to be hard to keep it quiet. But, it's going to be a lot on players to make sure they can sort of do the smart thing and respect the severity of the situation and do everything they can to keep themselves on the football field, because at the end of the day, that's what they all want. And I think the coaches are going to make sure that message is really clear to them everywhere across the country that, hey, this is for you. This is to keep you on the football field. Be smart and don't do anything to hurt yourself or anybody else.
Ryan, before we let you go, it seems like as previews start coming out and whenever we kick off the 2020 season, it looks like Tennessee on paper, a top 25 team. What does that mean from your standpoint right now?
You know what? They're a team that to me has the potential to sort of break through this year, I think, because they did finish the way they did last year. And I think people looking at them on paper see that they bring back a lot of seniors, a lot of experience, a fifth-year senior quarterback in Jared Garantano, obviously, a talented offensive line that has a couple seniors leading the way with Trey Smith and Brandon Kennedy there in the middle, but then a couple of young, talented tackles going into their second year in Wanya Morris and Darnell Wright, some good depth there, and a lot of seniors on the defensive line, too. So there's a lot of reasons to look at them on paper and say, they can absolutely build on what they did at the end of last season, winning their final six games. But at the same time, I think what they lost at wide receiver is a big deal. I think losing Darrell Taylor is a big deal on defense. So the few losses they had were significant. Even a guy like Nigel Warrior, who started to play some really good football toward the end of last year, after maybe not living up to the hype for a lot of his career, really put it together in his senior year. And now you're going to feel that loss in the back of the secondary, where Tennessee doesn't have as much depth as they probably would like. So I think when you look at it on paper, there are reasons to like them, but and the schedule shapes up relatively well for this to be at least an 8-win team or so. But at the same time, they've got to find a way to break through against a team like an Oklahoma, a Florida, a Georgia, or an Alabama to go anything beyond that. And that's in addition to taking care of business against a team like South Carolina that they managed to beat last year. So it's a team that I could see a pretty wide variance in what they do. They need Jared Garantano to take another step, and they need those seniors to stay healthy and live up to the hype, and especially on the offensive line. But they're a team that could take another step this year, no doubt, and I can understand why people are looking at them as a team that can maybe, you know, close down on Florida and Georgia a little bit, at least a little bit before the next couple of years. I think people expect to see that jump, but this year can maybe be another step closer to them at least.
And, you know, you speak about Alabama, you know, Florida, Georgia, but, you know, you go back and, you know, if I'm a head coach, you know, you can point out less than five plays. Five plays during a course of a game changes the outcome of Tennessee-Alabama last year, for example.
Yeah.
And if you use that mentality, that will be one of the things to stress to the players. It's us taking advantage of those opportunities when we have those opportunities to change the outcome of those games.
Yeah, and they've got a lot to look back on at the end of last year to really point to and say that there's no reason we can't continue to do that this year. You know, again, on offense, I think it really is a big deal, though. I've seen offenses derailed by much less than losing a couple guys like Marquez Callaway and Juwan Jennings. You know, I think people might even underestimate how much those guys helped out Jerry Garantano at times and really made that offense go when they were scoring a decent amount of points. And they started to do that toward the end of last season. But, you know, they've got some talent, certainly at that position at wide receiver. Guys like Josh Palmer have to take the next step. But there, yeah, there's a lot of evidence from last year for them to point to and say, there's no reason we can't continue to do that. You know, they weren't as competitive against Georgia and Florida as they would like early in the season. Those are series they'd like to certainly turn around, and they haven't had much luck against Florida the last 2 years. They need to change that. But toward the end of last season, they built a lot of confidence. I think this program in general just sort of feels that it's on the right track now, and you wonder if that sort of contagious feeling about that will sort of build into this year and make this team someone to really watch for going into the season.
All right, before we let you go, buddy, go ahead and plug GoVols 24/7 once again.
Yeah, lots to check out right now, GoVols247.com. Recruiting coverage, obviously Tennessee's been the big story there on the recruiting trail recently. We're looking at catching up with Tennessee's signees as they get ready to come to campus, along with returning players here in the next couple weeks. Lots of good stuff on the signees. And tomorrow, check out the site. We'll have free VIP day, so all of our VIP content will be free on GoVols 24/7 and throughout the 24/7 Sports Network to sample everything we have to offer. So be sure to check that out as well.
Thank you so much. Have a great week. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Johnny.
Thank you. That's Ryan Callahan. Coming up, we'll wrap up hour number one. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Some areas are still seeing some pretty good rain showers out here. Traffic's still moving right now on the South Loop. The West Loop, there's a crash getting some attention right now. I-40 eastbound near Church Street. 24 West, it wrecks over to the side there at James Robinson Parkway. Starting to get busy now on I-40, passing the airport, headed out towards Mount Juliet. Vote for Dr. Byron Bush, Republican for U.S. Senate. Why? Because it matters. Choose someone with a conservative record. Log on now, bushforsenate.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
Kyle Larson may be suspended from NASCAR, but he's still winning at the local short tracks in World of Outlaws Racing, notching a win over the weekend at I-55 Raceway. Not only did he notch the win, though, he became the track record holder with a sub-10-second lap coming in at 9.995. Impressive. He's letting his skills on the racetrack do the talking now. After a rough week personally with his wife's miscarriage, Chase Briscoe battled Kyle Busch door-to-door at the Darlington Xfinity Series race late last week and snatched the win away from the best in the business.
I knew that in the car would probably be the best therapy, I guess you could say, but I didn't know really how my reaction was going to be. And truthfully, even the whole race, I was kind of out of it. For sure, the last, 50 laps, I was kind of all over the place, but it was still good. I mean, obviously now, I'm super glad I came back and raced, but I don't think there was ever a thought of, not going racing just because... And that's what we do, and that's best therapy, at least for me and my family. There wasn't ever a thought about sitting out, but it certainly was tough. It was probably better that, truthfully, that the race did get postponed to Thursday because we found out Tuesday afternoon. So it honestly was a blessing in disguise that it rained Tuesday and was able to, get a couple days at home.
Remember, Truck Series racing tonight from Charlotte on Fox. Tomorrow, the Cup Series is back in action from Charlotte as well at 8 p.m. on FS1. And then it's on to Bristol Motor Speedway this weekend. It's pretty awesome, right? Racing pretty much all the time now.
TheFinalLap.com. And now a game of Commercial Chicken, brought to you by Progressive, where we see how long Flo can go without talking about insurance. Ready? Go.
So the weather is just all over the place lately, right? One day it's hot, and the next day it's windy for a while. It's like, make up your mind already. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save big.
Okay, you win. We can't help but save customers money. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Whether you're working remotely, taking web classes, binge-watching TV, or gaming, Dell is here to help you find the right tech. From XPS and Alienware computers that are redefining what's possible with 10th-gen Intel Core processors to the latest top-brand electronics, our seamless tech solutions will help keep you connected. Plus, get free shipping. Call us today at 800-BUY-DELL. That's 800-BUY-DELL.
Lynn Orange Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks, with you, Zach Williams, in the Goggin Coal Hall Studios. Coming up in hour number two, just after five, our good friend Barrett Salee, not only a national writer with CBSSports.com, he is also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. We'll talk college football and more with him. And then around 5:35 or so, Marty O'Malley, he's executive director of Larch Mobile. Each and every year, this will be the 26th annual event. They've been putting on an event, a college football preview dinner. Unfortunately, this year, not going to be able to hold the dinner, but they're having a virtual meeting inviting everybody coming up on Thursday night. And basically, it's a chance for 5 to 10 minute presentations from a lot of coaches across the land, college football figures, and more. One of those is Jeremy Pruitt, head coach of Tennessee, Nick Saban from Bama, Gus Malzahn from Auburn, and more. We'll talk to Marty about that around 5:35. But once again, Barrett Salee joins us just after 5. As always, we know you have choices each and every day, and we appreciate you making our show and our station a daily destination. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.